Welcome to the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana.
Watford for the win! Yes! Yes! Unbelievable!
Your daily home for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Welcome to Indiana basketball.
Smart takes the shot! And the Hoosiers with 3 seconds. Go ahead.
Indiana wins the championship. Keith Smart is the hero.
When my time on Earth is gone and my activities here are past, I want they bury me upside down and my critics can kiss my...
Now here's your host, Matt Dennison.
It's Indiana. What I feel is the pinnacle, the absolute pinnacle of all of college basketball.
And hello, welcome in a Friday edition of the program. Glad to have you with us as we wrap up the week here on the Hoosier Report, live from the Big X Studios in Jeffersonville, and plenty to get to today. But before we talk about today's show, I want to remind you that tonight we are scheduled, weather pending, of course, to be at the ballpark, New Albany Little League, for the major and minor league championship games. Now, we've done a lot of the All-Stars in the past. Occasionally, we've done league championship games, but we're just excited to get back out to the field and have some local coverage of some Little League. It's kind of become a summer tradition here on the Big X, and years ago when we started doing this, we were just amazed at the amount of interest from the community and the number of people that listen or stream into the broadcast. And I'm sure that tonight in those championship games, it will be no different. So today in the show, you're going to hear me thank a number of sponsors that are making this special coverage tonight from New Albany Little League possible. One of those sponsors is Quinn's Mobile Wash Services. Quinn's Mobile Wash Services for all of your exterior cleaning needs. That you can call them today at 812-948-2425. They serve the entire Kentuckiana area. Just one of many sponsors you're going to hear today making our Little League coverage possible tonight. Let's take a look at today's show lineup. It's a service of Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. In segment one, we've got a handful of Zaxby's headlines for today on this Friday as we take a look at the top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Also, later in the show, on Fridays, we're joined by Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. We talk college football, of course, from an IU perspective, and there are some rumors out there about the Big Ten Conference that came out yesterday. We'll talk about those in the headlines, and we'll follow up more with Matt a little bit later in the program today and just get his feel on where things are at with the IU program. And the IU team has seen their voluntary workouts pause now for a while. I think we're reaching or close to reaching a 14-day period, basically a two-week period, that most teams are quarantining or shutting things down when there are a number of positive cases. So I would think that IU, no matter what happens with the season coming up and any announcements that could happen about that, I would think that Indiana's getting closer to at least resuming their voluntary workouts that have been going on this summer. Also later in the show, Kyle Neddenrip from Indianapolis from the Star. He joins us. We'll take a look at high school sports. It was a crazy week for high school sports as far as, is there going to be sports? What's it going to look like? Indianapolis, Marion County announced at one point earlier in the week that there would be no contact sports, at least through October 1st, which sent a lot of coaches, a lot of parents, a lot of fans into a frenzy in the central part of the state. That was going to affect so many kids, so many schools. I did not realize this. I think there's like 40 or 41 high schools in Marion County. That's unbelievable. Obviously, it's the population hub by far of our state. But that decision, at least for now, I don't want to say it's been reversed, but it's been put on hold. They're going to evaluate numbers, what the cases look like, not only generally in Marion County over the next 2 or 3 weeks, but what they look like from high school students and athletes that are practicing, because official practices with contact in football to get ready for the season, they start August 3rd, so early next week across the state. We'll talk with Kyle about that. A lot of other subjects, a lot of other things to wonder about, maybe even to worry about when it comes to the upcoming high school football and fall sports season. So we'll cover that and more with Kyle when he joins us a little bit later in the program today. And I know that this has come up a few times this week, and I'm sure that it will continue to come up. I sense that Indiana fans are maybe concerned or questioning or wondering how this is going to affect things. But I'll get Kyle's opinion, too, on the recruitment of Trey Kaufman at Silver Creek now that North Carolina has officially jumped in the mix. You know, they offered him a scholarship earlier this week, and Kyle has tracked Trey's recruiting extremely close, and he's on top of it, and I'm curious his thoughts on how this affects things for Indiana and how this potentially could affect the overall recruitment of Trey Kaufman as well. We'll do that and more in the show today. That's the lineup for today, brought to you by Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Don't forget to stop by the Honey Baked Ham store in New Albany and check out their new dinner package deals that are now being offered. You can dine in at Honey Baked Ham. Pickup is available, and curbside service still an option as well if you call before you go at Honey Baked Ham in New Albany. Let's take a look at our Zaxby's headlines, a summary of the day's top IU and Southern Indiana sports news. Yesterday, Pat Forty, actually a couple different sources, but Pat Forty first, he tweeted out yesterday evening that the Big Ten Conference, via multiple sources, that the league has, he writes, quote, advised members it still might not play this fall, talking about football. The tweet continues, quote, decision on whether to start camp on time will be made in the next 5 days. But with testing protocols in place, that is the expectation. Schedule release is to be determined, a fluid situation. So Pat Forty sources say, hey, it's possible that there isn't a Big Ten football season, of course. And that's the case with football, sports, everything across all levels right now. We are getting announcements of some plans to have high school football, to have college football, conferences making announcements on exactly what they're going to do. But until the first games kick off, even after the first games kick off, who knows what could happen in certain areas, certain states, certain universities, certain high schools, outbreaks with certain teams, multiple teams in a conference, let's say, have serious outbreaks, and all of a sudden, before you know it, they have to cancel their season. So just because it kicks off even doesn't mean that college football, the full thing, is going to happen in its entirety. But definitely an odd time, and definitely going to be interested to see what the Big Ten, at least their announcement, is. We know what the ACC is going to do. Conference-only games, they're allowing one non-conference game. It has to be against either a home game or a game against an in-state opponent. So ACC would allow Louisville, for example, to play not only their conference schedule, but also play Kentucky in that storied game, rivalry game between those two schools. The SEC came out yesterday and said conference-only games, 10 conference-only games. So that ruins the hopes of a Louisville-Kentucky out-of-conference game next season. But that's what the SEC is doing. As far as the Big Ten, still waiting. And, of course, they are the ones seeming to take more time and still up in the air and being upfront with their members that there still could not be a season. Jeff Rabjohns, later in the evening, tweeted out a story on the Pigs.com site that, along the same lines, the Big Ten season is still up in the air right now as far as it will it actually be played. But he had a little bit more in his story. They're going to, according to his sources, move forward with the schedule and announce that schedule soon, either this weekend or early next week. That's according to sources that Jeff Rabjohns has. So whether or not the Big Ten, the ACC, the SEC, other conferences, small, big, Division II, high school, whatever, whether they play or not, it's a different story. But it does sound like we are going to get a plan, a schedule for the Big Ten Conference and for football, so we'll know who the Hoosiers will play. Rumors of a 9 or 10 game schedule in the Big Ten Conference, that's kind of the thought right now. No one knows for sure, with multiple bye weeks built in for each Big Ten member in their football schedule. So that is what is thought, at least, for the Big Ten Conference right now, as far as we know. Switching to basketball for just a moment. Andy Katz, who does some work for the Big Ten Network, he had a little social media video yesterday on his Cats and Shoot segment that you can find on the Big Ten Network and on Indiana, I think Indiana basketball account as well. He called for Indiana to get more preseason buzz. He went through a number of reasons why he thinks so. And so anytime you have a national guy pumping up your program, saying you should be getting more preseason buzz, that's a good thing for Indiana. And I think as we hear Archie Miller speak, and as we put together what we know, obviously, A, is Trace Jackson Davis returning for another season. B, some of the other returning players that are either more healthy or stepping up into bigger roles or showed flashes of being able to step into a bigger role at some point later last season. Or C, because of some newcomers, Christian Lander, I think, is the big one, but others as well, maybe Jordan Geronimo, who knows. I think there's a lot of reasons to be excited, and it's easy to see why Indiana, as we get through not only the college football season, but just when we get through, here's how it's going to happen, and maybe even the season begins, I think things will immediately take a shift to basketball. Same thing, really not about Indiana or the teams or the conference, but are we going to play? What's it going to look like? What are the possibilities? Then you'll start seeing conferences announce their plans, at least plan for college basketball next. And I think as that happens and we start thinking more about a season, I really think this Indiana team, even on a national level, is going to get some credit. There have been more and more good things said in the offseason by a number of people. A lot of people high on Indiana. A lot of people think this could be a big year for them in the Big Ten Conference. And I know Indiana fans are saying with me in unison, let's just make sure that there's a season this year. But Andy Katz with some really good words on Indiana and why he thinks that the Hoosiers deserve more preseason buzz as we look ahead to 2020 and 2021. Also basketball, last night, couple NBA games last night. New Orleans and Utah was the first to open up the restart of, I guess you could say, true regular season games. Great finishes in both of the games last night, followed by the Lakers and Clippers. If you're going to restart things, the NBA got exactly what they hoped, that fans that maybe were on the fence about following the NBA in the bubble, or maybe they're not typically big NBA fans, but there's just not a lot of sports options right now. Two great and competitive games, especially in the fourth quarter and especially down the stretch. You could not ask for a better restart. I know I enjoyed both of those games, especially those finishes last night. Great finishes for both the Lakers and Clippers in that game and the first game, Jazz and New Orleans. As well, and we've got to close with this headline today. This coming out a little bit earlier today, but the Cardinals, St. Louis Cardinals, are the latest Major League Baseball team that have had some players test positive for COVID-19. Their game has been canceled for today. We'll see what happens moving forward. The question, I believe, or the word right now maybe is two positives on the Cardinals, but again, I'm assuming the rest of the team being tested, so we'll find out if the two balloons end up. Was it 18 that I think cases the Marlins ended up confirmed with? 18 out of their roster? That's just an amazing number and really a scary number. And so that's kind of the latest storyline in baseball, and it's not been a good week for baseball with the Marlins having an outbreak, a very severe outbreak, and now St. Louis, their game postponed tonight against the Brewers because of some positive tests. So we'll see how this unfolds and exactly how many cases maybe the Cardinals have. That will determine if after a day or so and their other players are cleared or negative in their test, if they can continue on without those positive players, so it doesn't affect the MLB schedule any more than things have been affected by the Marlins, who are still out and expected to be out through the weekend, if not into early next week as well. That's going to really affect the schedule. We'll be interested to see what Major League Baseball does to make up some of those games. Could there be doubleheaders? Is that fair for the other team that has to play a doubleheader against the Marlins that did not have an outbreak and maybe was more responsible and didn't have players going out to bars or wherever they reportedly went in Atlanta? It's going to be interesting to see. That's the first real, I think, severe coronavirus case in sports, in pro sports, in any sport that we're going to see how it all plays out here over the next few days, I believe. That's a look at our headlines for this Friday edition of the program. A reminder, our Little League coverage tonight at New Albany Little League. We've got the major and minor championship games. We'll be on the air at 5:30, and our coverage tonight is brought to you by RE/MAX Results and the Scroggin team. If you're looking for an honest and hardworking realtor, call Eric Scroggin or Jessica Bivin for all your Southern Indiana real estate needs. 502-531-9408. That's RE/MAX Results and the Scroggin team. We'll head to a commercial break. We'll come back to talk IU football, college football, what happens with the Big Ten, when could the Big Ten schedule come out? Does Matt know more about that? Matt Weaver of Pigs.com next. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison. Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
I'll handle this the way I want to handle it now that I'm here. You f***ed it up to begin with. Now just sit there or leave. I don't give a f*** what you do. Now, back to the game.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back on this Friday program. Matt Weaver of Pigs.com. He's the football writer for the Pigs.com website, and he joins us Fridays as we talk IU football, we hope, for the upcoming football season. And, Matt, I want to start with one of your writers with the Pigs site, Jeff Rabjohns, who our listeners are very familiar with. He tweeted out yesterday that, according to sources that he has, the Big Ten is nearing the release of its football schedule. Could come this weekend, could potentially come next week. And you've said all along you felt like this week, the next couple weeks, would be big for the state of college football, as far as what happens for this upcoming season. What are you hearing about the Big Ten schedule, and do you think we're getting closer to a release?
Yeah, it sounds like from, you know, and Jeff's got some good contacts in those areas, and it sounds like it could be, and maybe as early as today, but definitely, you know, no later than probably, you know, the first of next week. So probably, you know, maybe looking at Monday or something. And like I said, you know, this would be the weekend where fall camps basically get started for the season, because you're closing in on, you know, games. A little bit first week of the season, about a month away, so a little over a month. So we're getting kind of to, like I said, I've always called it kind of the drop-dead date of what you're going to do, or at least maybe if you're going to push it back some more or kind of kick the can down the road a little bit more, or, you know, kind of make a decision on the season. So right now I think they're proceeding like they're going to play this fall. I think there's obviously still some questions about that. I think, you know, what you're seeing, you know, you look at Major League Baseball, it kind of has you concerned, because obviously Major League Baseball has all those resources and all that kind of the finances and all that to kind of make things as safe as possible. And obviously they're not in a bubble, but, you know, you had the outbreak with the Marlins team, and then I just saw today where there's been an outbreak in the Cardinals organization, and their game's postponed today against the Brewers. So, you know, it just makes you wonder. And then you see the story about Rutgers and how their players went to a party. You know, I talked about that last week. That's the stuff you can't control. You hope your players are smart, but they're kids. You know, they're young people. They do these things. They want to have fun, and their players went to a party and they had a big outbreak on their team and had to shut their workouts down. So, you know, hopefully things keep going and we're able to play this fall, but I still think that's probably still somewhat up in the air, but at least getting the schedule out gives us some hope and something to look forward to.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com. I think the expectation, and we've covered some of this before, but the expectation for the Big Ten season and the schedule when it is announced is a 9 or 10 game schedule with a couple bye weeks obviously mixed in for each team. Is that what you're hearing or what you're thinking?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, I think it was interesting. I think the SEC came out and they I believe it was the SEC or ACC came out and released their schedule, ACC maybe. I think the SEC said they're going to start September 26th and maybe do conference only. I could have that wrong. But, you know, I think you can see that maybe from the Big Ten where you push it back a little bit and kind of maybe hope that the numbers start to, you know, what's concerning is, you know, the numbers the last couple of months were going up down in the South, and now they're starting to rise here in the Midwest and some of the Midwest states and Indiana, not to the levels of other places, but still enough that it's kind of alarming, obviously. That would be my guess, is that you'll try to build it in. So if there is an outbreak on a team, if you're able to start the season, there's an outbreak on one team, that you can maybe have, you know, you could have, give them a couple weeks to, get it under control, and then still play the game. Or maybe you try to, you try to build in some weeks at the end of the season, if you have to reschedule a game, if two teams, for whatever reason, there's not enough time to get the game in because of an outbreak or some positive tests. You try to do that. So, and how the schedule's set up, like I said, we've heard that it could be front-loaded with division teams. So Indiana would start off with all the Eastern Conference opponents and then move to the West. Or, so it'll be interesting to see how they do it. How they do the 10th game. Is it just a random game? Do they pick a local opponent? Like Northwestern would seem to make sense for Indiana, which would be interesting with the whole Peyton Ramsey, going up there to play. So there's a lot of questions. Hopefully we'll find out. It'd be nice if we found out today. That'd be kind of something nice to end the week with. But hopefully the next few days we get an idea of what the schedules look like and when things are going to get underway for everybody.
Matt, this is no surprise, and this is something that's talked about pretty often, and we've discussed it as well. But you mentioned the Marlins. You mentioned now the Cardinals and Major League Baseball. And, of course, we're watching very closely. The NBA had its opening night of regular season games, or a restart of regular season games, last night. We're watching that closely, but so far, and the teams have been there for a few weeks because of practices and scrimmages to get back in shape, and now, of course, the restart of games that actually count. We're all watching this stuff closely, and so far the NBA has been successful, I think you would have to say. Now, there's a long way to go in the Orlando bubble to judge that thing entirely. If you were judging Major League Baseball, which could be similar or is similar to football in the setup of the travel, and that there is no bubble, and that there's opportunities for these guys to slip to a bar or a college party if you're a football player, there are some similarities there. I guess the one thing that's not similar is baseball players may not have, on average, as much contact or face-to-face time with at least members of the other team is what most football players lining up on the field would have. So I do think there are some comparisons to draw. There probably are a few differences as well. But I stand here today on this Friday very concerned about Major League Baseball. We're a couple weeks in, and there have been two notable outbreaks so far. We're still learning more about the Cardinals, the second outbreak. But it leaves me more concerned, I guess, a couple weeks into baseball for college football than what I was before Major League sports and Major League Baseball specifically got back underway.
Yeah, I think there's no doubt about it. And, obviously they're human, just because they're professionals, and they're obviously a little bit older than college guys. They're still human, and they're still the guys in their 20s. I think, there's been reports that the Marlins might have gone out when they played an exhibition game in Atlanta, and obviously Atlanta's become a hot spot for coronavirus. And that's the things you can't control. I mean, you could try to threaten. I mean, in baseball, they can probably, try to, tell them they're going to find their players. But at the end of the day, these are still humans. You're used to a certain way of life. I mean, it's not just athletes. We're all used to a certain way of life. And you see people not wanting to wear masks, and people, kind of not want to do certain things. And I get it. I don't agree with it. I wish people would be more cautious and try to, bring this down. But it's hard to change when you've been used to something for so long. And with college students, we've talked about this. All it takes is one guy going to a party. It doesn't even have to be a group of guys. One guy, and then he, he's asymptomatic, and he gives it to another guy. I mean, it's amazing how fast this thing can spread. I mean, we've seen that, obviously, since it first developed, late last year, early this year, definitely when it's coming to the United States. And that's all it takes. And we're seeing that in baseball where, I mean, they've had like 17 or 18 Marlins within like a few days test positive, or I think it's close to 20. I mean, it's really amazing. It's really amazing to see that. So that's what's concerning. And I don't know how you can't really put college football teams in a bubble. I saw somebody tweet that out, have all the Big Ten teams come to Indianapolis and put up in hotels. But the problem with that is that's really expensive. You're talking about 120 guys for 10 weeks at, however much it is a night for a room. I mean, in theory, it's a good idea. And if you could do it like the NBA, but the problem is you just don't have those kind of resources. And with the money that schools are losing because of things being shut down, I don't know how you can make that work financially. It just would be, you know, you have to sequester the coaches, the trainers, the football managers, anybody who comes in contact with the football program on a day-to-day basis is an essential to them, their operation would have to be sequestered. So you'd be asking coaches to leave their wives and kids for 2.5 months. I mean, in theory, it would be, it'd be great, but I just don't, in practicality, I just don't think it's, I don't think it's realistic.
Matt Weaver, Peaks.com. We're talking IU and college football for the upcoming season. Let's take, as we wait for the Big Ten, let's take a look at some of the other conferences around the country and what they have decided to do. And most recently, the SEC yesterday announced a 10-game conference-only football schedule, while the ACC, I don't remember the exact number of games, but they left room for one out-of-conference opponent. It could either be at home or it had to be within your home state. So what we basically see by the SEC's announcement is obviously what they're going to do with their conference teams, conference only, but that's going to eliminate some natural rivalries in college football that are very important, not only to fans, but also financially as well. That would include Kentucky and Louisville just to our south.
Yeah, and obviously that's, you know, that's, those are the ones, you know, and then obviously the Notre Dame, you know, there's some games they play against the Big Ten that have been going on for years, and you know, games, there's probably games, you know, you might look at some teams down in Florida, SEC-ACC matchups. Now, maybe they can do it. Like you said, they left open, although the SEC's come out and say conference only, so that the ACC wouldn't be able to play an SEC team. But, you know, to me, the teams that I've mentioned this in the past on the show that really get hurt in this whole deal are the Ball States, the Miami Ohio's. You know, those schools, the ones that had deals. Now, I saw where Ball State has actually scheduled a game against Iowa State. It'll be interesting to see if they'll, obviously if they'll be able to play that and how it goes. But, I mean, at least they're able to recoup some of the money that they're going to lose from not being able to play Indiana. I think they might have had another Big Ten team on their schedule. I could be wrong on that. But, you know, those are the teams that have really gotten hurt here. Those schools down in the South that play those SEC schools and get those big paydays, $500,000, $750,000, whatever it may be, that's really essential to their budget. You know, but it's just a, you know, another one that, you know, people talk about, Army Navy. You know, can you play that? I mean, that is one of the great college football games, and it's obviously not two perennial powers and teams that are playing for, but that's just a great game for this country and for college football. And, you know, it'll be a shame if they're not able to play that one, because it's a game that I pay attention to. I watch, even though I'm not a fan of either school, because it's such a special game. And so you hope those games are able to be played. But if we got to put them on the back burner for 1 year to get through this, and we can get them back up next year, you know, hopefully that's the worst case scenario.
Matt Weaver, Peaks.com, my guest. With what we know, just from the Power 5 conferences, and we think we have an idea on the Big Ten, but we won't know officially maybe for the next few days or into early next week. But with what we know so far from Power 5 conferences, is there a way still to have a true national champion? How does this affect the ability for the college football playoffs? I'm assuming if all of the Power 5 teams are on somewhat the same page as far as the number of games scheduled, the number of games that are actually played, that there can be a reasonably well put together playoff that's seeded correctly, that includes the right teams.
Yeah, I think if you can get all the Power 5 schools, if all the Power 5 schools can play out their conference schedules, or, you know, pretty close to it, I mean, you know, is it a true playoff? And, you know, maybe not, but I mean, look at, you know, the NBA's altered their thing, baseball's altered their thing. You know, so if you can get as close to it as possible, then I think it's still a pretty good representation of what it would be. You know, the top teams, you know, as long as not, the one question is, you know, could guys opt out? You know, we've seen a player at Virginia Tech who's decided to not play, I don't remember his name. He's a DB, considered, I want to say Fairley might be his last name, but top pick in next year's draft. He's just going to train and not play. So you might see that. I've not heard of that with anybody in Indiana. But you just never know. I mean, you know, obviously this is their health. So, but if you can get those teams to play their schedules, you know, I think to me the question is what happens if some of the mid-majors can't play? What happens to the bowl games? Do you have to kind of, you know, do some of them get eliminated this year? And then do you just kind of do the matchups differently than what you have agreements with in the different bowls. You know, I mean, for like the Big Ten, really the only one that would be affected is the one in Detroit, where sometimes you play a MAC opponent if they're not able to play their schedule for whatever reason. So to me, that's the question. But I think if you can get all the Power Five conferences to get through the season, you can still have a pretty, you know, interesting and exciting kind of playoff and Final Four and national championship.
Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, talking college football. Let's take a look at high school football. We're going to talk more about high school sports in general coming up in the next segment with Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. But when you look at high school football this year, I think all the things we spoke about with college as far as how difficult it is to help the student athletes, let's say, make the right decisions, maybe not going to a crowded party. And keep in mind, these guys are going to be, many of them, in school 4 or 5 days a week, depending on their specific schedule at their respective school or school corporation. Whatever we see in college football, I think it will be mirrored at the high school level as far as problems, don't you?
Absolutely, and probably even enhanced, because obviously, I mean, listen, high schools don't have the resources that a Big Ten school has where they can do, you know, I don't know how often they're testing. I don't know what the protocols are in place, but I got to believe it's probably not to the same level as you got at some of these, you know, these Power Five type schools where obviously they have the resources, they have the staff and all that kind of stuff to do this. You know what I mean? And, you know, and the difference is, I don't know, you can't really set up, I don't know how you can set up a schedule in high school, you know, to where you try to build in bye weeks and all that kind of stuff. I mean, the schedule is kind of what it is. So if you have a team that has a breakout, do they just forfeit? Is it, you know, I mean, that's where it's going to get tricky. Then you mentioned, obviously they're in school and classrooms around each other. And, you know, the other thing is they're going home to their parents, and their parents could be, you know, coming in contact with it. And the one thing about college students, at least when they go home, it's just them and their roommates. You know, most of the football players are probably rooming with other football players. So, you know, that kind of risk is eliminated. But for high school students, there seems to be more things where you can come in contact with it, obviously. So, you know, it's just a tough deal. I mean, I guess you just kind of go into it and try to see how far you can get, and hopefully you can get to the end. I'm not really sure what else you can do. There's just no way to predict it. It's amazing. You know, I talked to an IU staff member not too long ago, and, you know, they're all about, I think I mentioned this before, they're all about planning things out as much as you can and having a plan and working it. This has really made their lives day-to-day, and it's all of us. All of our lives have become day-to-day. We literally live day-by-day with this virus, and, you know, it's amazing what it's done, and it's not just sports, it's everybody, but you really see it in sports when you're trying to plan stuff out, make schedules, and you just can't do it because you just don't know.
Absolutely. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, IU football, and more. Matt, I've enjoyed the chats the last couple of weeks as we hope we're drawing closer to college football. Let's continue these on Fridays. And thanks, as always, for all of your insight and your time.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
All right. Matt Weaver, Pigs.com, with us on this Friday show. And coming up in the next segment, Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. We're going to put the focus back on high schools. A lot of stuff going on this week in high school sports across the state, some decisions that have been made, and of course, I think some decisions still coming up from a lot of schools across the state. Kyle Neddenrip is next on this Friday program. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
We're back on the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.
Let's win this one for all the small schools who never had a chance to get here.
Join Matt daily at 11 a.m. and 3 p.m. for complete coverage of the Indiana Hoosiers and sports from a Southern Indiana perspective.
Let's win for Coach. You got us here.
Here's Matt Dennison.
And we're back. Final segment of the week and on this Friday program. Don't forget, tonight we have Little League Baseball Championship games at New Albany Little League, and we want to take a moment to thank another one of our sponsors for those games tonight, the New Washington State Bank. They wish best of luck to all competing teams. They invite you to stop by and visit New Washington State Bank at our New Albany location, meet their team, and let them introduce you to banking the way you want. NWSB, Equal Housing Lender, member FDIC. Kyle Nedenrip of the Indianapolis Star, always with me on Fridays as we take a look at high school sports and normally a lot of basketball, but it's been more about high school sports in the fall and football recently because everyone wondering, are we going to play? What's it going to look like? And Kyle, this week, this past week, especially I believe Wednesday specifically, was a very interesting day for high school sports and could kind of tell you how crazy organizationally this stuff's going to be this season, because the IHSAA put out a positive tweet that, hey, we're going to move forward with fall sports, and I'm paraphrasing here, but you know, good luck to the players and the teams competing. Of course, we all know that, yes, the IHSA wants to move forward and will move forward if they can, but a lot of this is going to be up to local communities, local school systems, health departments, and other decision makers at the community level. Not long after the tweet, you had a story from Marion County and the health department that they were going to not allow high school sports that were contact sports until at least October 1st, which sent a frenzy across the state, because I think you got 40-something schools in Marion County. That obviously would affect football schedules across the entire central Indiana region if all 40 schools could not begin play until October 1st or after. And after that story and announcement, then somewhat of a pause. Hey, we're not going to do that just yet. It's still a possibility, but they're going to evaluate now things over the next couple of weeks. That was a crazy day, a number of crazy communications and transgressions in that day, and I think that sums up what we're going to go through really all fall, maybe even into the winter.
Yeah, I agree. Wednesday was crazy, and you know, I had to, the story, that's what it was, and, you know, I have evidence of that and, you know, physical evidence that that was the plan. And, you know, you kind of have to bite your tongue and let, you know, I had to kind of shut off, you know, my mentions and not even look at them after a while, because, you know, people just, you know, some people, not all people, but there's some who just, you know, were kind of mean about it. And I understand if I was on the other side, I could understand that, but yeah, so that was the plan. And then it changed. The plan changed based on the feedback. And Virginia Kane, the Marion County Health Department director, kind of, you know, she kind of didn't say that outright yesterday, but basically said, yeah, after feedback from our stakeholders, you know, they decided to say, all right, let's give it 2 or 3 weeks. Let's see what it looks like at that point. And, you know, we'll go from there. And so that doesn't mean, you know, it's on as scheduled. It doesn't mean anything really other than, you know, it's going to be allowed to continue. And this is just for contact sports, not, you know, they were planning on allowing, you know, the non-contact or the, you know, the sports that can't have social distancing more easily to continue. But for contact sports, and namely football, you know, and volleyball, soccer, you know, that's still under review basically. And, you know, I know, you know, it did create kind of a firestorm, obviously, is a big story. And you know, and it was at that time, that was the plan. But, you know, as we've seen, I mean, plans are, you know, they're we've talked about a lot, Matt, is just plans are very gray, and, you know, there's not, you know, plans can change. And that's just kind of what we have to live in right now and understand that. I saw the Big Ten just put out a statement, you know, today, and, you know, they, you know, I read that whole thing and they said a lot in there and a lot of good stuff. But again, it's, you know, they're saying, even if we put out a schedule, doesn't mean those games are going to happen. And, you know, that's the message I've been trying to tell people since all this has happened, is, you know, the IHSA may say, and I did have, you know, the IHSA put out that tweet, and kind of, you know, other people had put out some stuff in the last week or so, and, you know, saying, you know, everything's full steam ahead, you know, the IHSA said we can play. And, you know, I kind of wrote something earlier on Wednesday saying, you know, that's not, you know, that's unless we hear differently, that's not really a story at this point. That's not, you know, that means, yes, that we're going forward as now. But again, you know, people like Virginia Crane or Kane, I'm sorry, I always say Crane, but Virginia Kane and other health department people, they're the ones who ultimately, you know, kind of hold the keys to this thing, not the IHSA necessarily. The IHSA says, yes, we're going to host a tournament as it stands now. and move forward. But, you know, that doesn't mean every game is on as scheduled and everything is going forward as good. There have been already we've seen things change as far as schedules go. I know four football programs here who aren't even playing scrimmages on August 14th, 15th, that weekend. So, you know, things are changing and will continue to do so. So the IHSA saying that, while that's a positive message, and, you know, and we need positive messages, but, you know, definitely, but it doesn't have a lot of weight to it. And I had another media member, you know, kind of thought I was calling that person out by saying it wasn't a, you know, that big a deal. And I definitely was not. And somebody I really respect, and I guess, unfortunately, I just want to be truthful with people. You know, I don't want to spread, you know, messages of, you know, hey, it's all sunny and you know, we're going forward as scheduled. And while that sounds great, and I wish that was the case, it's more complicated than that. So, you know, it's been a crazy week. It will continue to be. And we just do the best we can to report information that we know. And it's going to, you know, I don't know what the future holds. I'm not surprised anymore. And I think you have to kind of expect there's going to be bumps along the way. And if you're not, then you're putting your head in the sand, because this thing is, you know, just looking at the numbers from Marion County and kind of what Virginia Kane was talking about yesterday, you know, we're just not out of the woods by any means. And as kids go back to school, and I think it's great they're going back to school. My kids started this week. You know, it just have to be as careful as we can, and hopefully keep this thing on the tracks. And I would love to be at a football game on August 21st and being back to covering stuff again, for sure.
No question. And I think that the IHSA tweet that we're talking about, and I read it on the air, it came out after we had closed the show for the day, but I read it on the air when it came out earlier this week. And it, you know, it was positive, and that's what they're going to do, and that's what they've said all along, that unless something really bad happens, they're going to provide fall championships for high school sports. And I think your story, I read your story this morning with Bobby Cox, who is actually in his basically final day or two of being the commissioner of the IHSA. What a way to go out after years of lots of accomplishments, to go out in a pandemic where you got to make some really tough decisions and come under fire. But he even said in your exit interview basically with him that, you know, we're going to provide these as long as the governor says we can play sports, and I'm paraphrasing, but not every school has to play, and not every school currently plays every sport that is offered by the IHSA. It's a school-by-school, a community-by-community decision, and obviously this decision coming up for fall sports and football is a lot different because it involves a health situation and a pandemic. But just because the IHSA put – and I saw that IHSA tweet screenshotted, reposted, retweeted, shared everywhere, and people thought it was like the official announcement that, all right, high school sports, no matter my location in the state of Indiana, everything's going to be the same this year. Everything's going to be just like normal, as far as that wasn't the intent of that tweet at all. So obviously, I think we're on the same page, and many people are, but it wasn't necessarily just a full go ahead with the season by any means.
No, and I think I get frustrated because, you know, and not that people are reading me constantly, but yeah, I try to say that, and it's you know, but you still see, you know, misunderstandings of, you know, all right, we're going forward, you know, and we are going forward. So I understand why there is confusion maybe, but, and maybe I'm misreading people's, you know, some people's reaction to it, but. But yeah, it's not, you can't just say, all right, yeah, this is what that means. And IHSA is, you know, they're saying that as well, you know, and I do think that, you know, I really enjoyed talking to Bobby Cox over the years, and I've covered his entire time as the commissioner, and we've had a lot of great conversations, and he's always been available when I've had a question on something, or, you know, was confused about something, which I'm often confused. So he's been really good about, you know, getting back with me, and I wish him the best. And I hope that I think he does a lot of really good things, and I think he means well. And I think Paul Neidig is, you know, I don't know him as well yet, but from every conversation I've had with him, I think he'll be a good commissioner. And I think they do a lot of good things there. The unified sports aspect has been awesome. You know, I've had a chance to cover those flag football state tournaments, and that's a great thing that they've done. And I think those kinds of things are more important than anything, I think. But I do know, you know, there are conflicting entities, because, you know, I should say really needs to put on a football tournament from a financial standpoint. And, you know, you can't say, oh, that's all they're doing it for, because I don't think that's the case either. But there are some of those things at stake as well. There are also things at stake for schools, not to see your kids transfer out, you know. And if Marion County had put the kibosh on, you know, fall sports on that day, then what happens? You know, where are kids going? You know, and I think that was part of the conversation, you know, as the day unfolded. And, you know, I'm not saying it's a conspiracy just to keep those kids in the building, but I think that's, you know, those conversations happened, and that was part of the conversation. And you know, it's a big ball of, you know, differing, you know, reasons to do things and reasons not to do things, which, you know, it's kind of a perfect storm of everything with this pandemic. You know, and it's tiring. I never thought we'd be here. It seems like I say that on your show every week on July 31st. You know, you would have not thought that back in March. At least I didn't. But here we are. And as we get started with August, this is supposed to be, you know, the start of the high school season, and I think there will be sports that go on, you know. And when I say everything's not on as scheduled, or you can't think of it that way, I think there will be things, and I'm planning on getting out to an event on Monday to go cover, and I think it will happen, a girls golf event. So, you know, I think there's going to be some things that happen. There'll be some things that have to be probably closer looked at, like the situation here in Marion County, and probably other counties are dealing with as well. There'll be teams shut down. There have been teams shut down already. So there's all kinds of things happening that will change this season, as we know. And I think it's important, like you said, not to think that it's you know, just because of that release this week or that tweet this week, that you know, everything's just carrying on as business as usual, because it's not.
Absolutely. Kyle Neddenrip, the Indianapolis Star. Kyle, it seems like each week we're getting closer to fall sports. We're hopeful for fall sports in many of our communities, but there are still a lot of hurdles to figure out, and it seems like each week a couple more of those show face. And so I'm sure next week it'll be another set of challenges, but let's hope that we can move through and get to some football here very soon. Thanks for coming on today.
You bet. Glad to do it, Matt, and have a great weekend.
Absolutely. Kyle Neddenrip of the Indianapolis Star. And a reminder, our weekend starts tonight. Local play-by-play coverage for the first time since early March will be at New Albany Little League tonight for live coverage of the major and minor league championship games. It'll be a lot of fun. We'll get a lot of kids' names on the radio, and enjoy just being out of the ballpark, watching some baseball and broadcasting it to you as we always do each summer. Our coverage tonight brought to you by Bart Medlock with RE/MAX First. If you are considering selling your home, call or text Bart Medlock, 812-987-6387. All agents are not created equal. Call Bart Medlock with RE/MAX First, 812-987-6387. Have a great weekend. Back with you Monday. This is the Hoosier Report with Matt Dennison.